talked to Brother Don Green at the camp. They had a family camp up in Charlevoix. This is the 19th one that they've had. Brother Jimmy Green is pastor of the Bible Baptist Church up there. I worked with him down in Ingham County Jail and got a ministry going for Parker Memorial. In the beginning of our ministry, we were teaching jail and prison work. And we would go to the church and we'd have a seminar, and then we'd go to meet with the sheriff and establish a work, and then the fellows at the church had taken over. We're not doing that much anymore now. Once I had one seminar last year, and it was just a refresher course. But presently, we are in Willard, North Carolina. That's our home. And we're working in Burgaw, a correctional institution. That's about 11 miles from us. Then our church, Bible Baptist Church in Burgaw, is about 15 miles. And we were working at the Pender County Jail. But since then, the Lord has beckoned us out of there. They told my wife that she couldn't take her cane down the block area. It was a weapon. And all the other jails that we were in and all the prisons we were in, we walk all over the place with that. She does, not me. I don't work all over, but she does. And then they told me I couldn't take my Bible courses in my case then into the jail. Well, the sum and substance of the whole thing is, they get cluttered with paper in a jail cell, and the officers are supposed to keep it clean. In other words, they're supposed to go through it. If they see extra newspapers and that sort of thing in there, they're supposed to clean house and take them out. See, but like all jails, everybody gets away with what they can get away with and not do it. Okay, so. They told me that that I couldn't take my case in anymore. We had been praying about the load that we've been carrying there. Bible Courses of Liberty, we're going into that jail, and we were getting a tremendous result from them. And like we always do, you know, but that's kind of limited now. There are no Liberty courses that I know of, unless they're mailed in, are going to the Pender County Jail. But we do have some good things to tell you. We have fellows that left that jail and gone to prison, some other prisons, and they've taken the courses with them. And in that process, we're getting new men writing, and would you please send me a Bible course? I'd like to take a Bible course. So we've got fellows in Virginia. We've got people, my wife knows all the places, but she handles all that. And we got people down in Georgia. We got people in South Carolina. And where's the other one? Down in Texas, we have some people down in Texas that are doing Bible courses in jail or prison, and the results have been tremendous. But the New Bern jail, that locks about 210, and that's a big jail. And it takes four men to cover that jail every week, one night a week, to preach the gospel and go in with Bible courses and take them out. So while we were handling these, our Bible courses, each one of the fellows had a case. And I told them, you load your case up with all the Liberty courses and get them all in a row, see? And you take them in, and when you hand a Bible course to a fellow and he turns around and hands it back to you, give him that next course. And so the results was tremendous, and we were walking out of that jail every Tuesday night with a stack of courses, and it put a load on her to grading courses. The housework wasn't getting done, and I couldn't handle that. not really. But she, the ministry comes first. And so we had a couple ladies in our church, and we taught them about that, and that was another blessed thing. Linda Ogden, never did this before. She's a young Christian lady, middle age, or over middle age. And we asked her, Linda, would you like to help us grade Bible courses? We need some help. She said, yes. We'd like to help. I said, so Doris taught her how to do the courses, and she says, boy, she said, aren't those courses exciting? She said, she's graded the fellas' courses that have already done them, and she's got the answer there, and she's getting her spiritual wagon loaded, see? And her husband, too, is a deacon in a church, so that's a blessing. Then we got an extra overload. We have another lady, Gloria Springer, and she got involved in it and helping Doris. Of course, what we do with your course is we color code them because they're all the same color, red, you know? So it made it so much easier when we painted the edge of them with an ink deal, you know? We painted them and you could identify them real quick. And so what we taught them to do that, and those two ladies come over, they help Doris color code those and help her with the book work. We keep a record on everybody that's there and every Bible we put out. We're getting Bibles now from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, Brother Jim Hoffman, and Bearing Precious Seed, and they supply our Bibles for us. We also get some from Parker Memorial, the publishing ministry down there with Dennis Denoff. And God has blessed us in a rich way. I mean, it's a real blessing. The results have been tremendous. Every time I get one, the last one I sent to you was this fella. I think of it the last one. I think you'll know I remember me sending it. But this last fella put a note in there, and Doris says, look at this. And I said, wow, this is all right. This guy said, boy, he said, I really like this. Somebody did their homework. They was talking about you, Brother Mike. Somebody did their homework when they did this Bible course, you know. Yeah, that's amazing to have a remark like that, because we get that frequently, you know. But that happened to be a one out of the jail, and I shot it up to you. Remember I sent that one? So it's exciting. You folks are doing a tremendous job, and don't quit. Jesus is coming soon. Yeah, just keep it going, because only thing you do for Christ, the only thing that's going to last. And if we keep this going, I believe that America could turn around if God's people will turn around. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And we need a good healing right now. But, you know, the Lord permitted all that. He's got two wills, a direct and perfect will, and he permits things to go, and he's in charge. He's still in charge. So he sets them up, and he takes them out, and whatever it goes, we've still got to honor them, whoever they are, you know. Don't have to agree with them, but we have to honor them, Mr. President, you know what I mean? And so that's what we set today as far as the ministry is concerned. So we've got the Pender Correctional Institution, 760 inmates in there, with a DART program. It's a substance abuse program, and it's a 90-day program. They graduate, then they fill that dormitory back up, and we get a bunch of new visitors, and every week we're getting visitors. Once in a while, we don't have a visitor, but most of the time, we have at least two or three visitors, and sometimes we have 7, 8, and 10 visitors. And we get a slip on each one, and they fill out a slip, put their prison number on it, then I send them a nice letter thanking them for coming, and we give them a pen to fill out their slip with, and then we encourage them to come back, and encourage them to come back and get involved in Bible courses. So Doris has the Bible courses right there in that prison, so they can just, all they have to do is walk up and say, can I start a Bible course? She'll fill her name out and give them a Bible course right on the start. So we're having a good time. I'm happy. I'm tired, but I'm happy. We're this going bed to bed business. I'm not cut out for this. Whew. I'll tell you what, it becomes a real chore. Well, let's see how much time we got. Quarter two, huh? Quarter two. All right. Well, you know, when Jesus traveled, he called Peter, James, and John. They were fishing. You remember that? He called that fishing corporation. I tell him, he called that fishing corporation, called him in, he says, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Well, we gotta go further than that. We gotta go back further. We have to go back to Moses, so to speak. Okay, Moses, when did he get his call? He got him by the burning bush, right? And God spoke to him, directly to him, that he's gonna deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then we have others along the line. You remember when Samuel was called? God spoke out of heaven. He said, Samuel, Samuel. And then he went to Eli. He said, you say something? He says, no, I didn't say anything. Then the Lord called him again and said, Samuel, Samuel. God directly called him from heaven. And finally, he said, "Here I am," and then he got his instructions. So in the Bible, we have the Word doing the calling. And nobody should be in the ministry on a foreign field or behind a pulpit that doesn't have an official calling. I'm a firm believer of that. I can prove my calling. I'm going to share that with you today, this morning. Because every time I picked up my Bible and read it, all I saw was jails and prisons. And if you take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Now, there's other related scriptures, but we'll just start right here, and we'll get in Isaiah chapter 42. And you'll see the scriptures. I was seeking God's will after I got out of jail, and I wanted to do what he wanted me to do, but I didn't know what it was. So you have to, if God's speaking to your heart, you have to go for it. I don't care what. You just go for it. You just stick right with it. The guys in the prison say, "Well, how do you know God's calling you?" He won't let you go. He just keep right there. Keep right there, see? And so we've had some fellows called in the ministry, out of our prison ministry, and that's exciting too. Isaiah chapter 42, look at verse 1, and we'll just look at a few scripture verses, and there's some here you ought to mark. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Now that servant is Jesus Christ. He's going to bring forth judgment to the Gentiles, okay? Now you take a look at verse 5. This is a creation verse. "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, and he that spreadeth forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for," there it is again, "a light of the Gentiles." You see that? That's Jesus Christ. He's talking about the righteousness, okay? Now, read the next verse real close and real slow and get siphon out what you believe that says. "To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Verse 8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." And so God was speaking to me through these verses to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And what he showed me out of this verse, he may not show you, but he showed me, and I'll tell you what he showed me, okay? That's all I can tell you. He said, to open the blind eyes. Well, the judgment to the Gentiles open the blind eye? It's because when Adam and Eve took the fruit of the tree of the garden, they became blind. They were blind, and Satan told him, he said, "And you be as God, knowing good and evil." Remember that? And he told him not to take the fruit of the tree, not to eat it. Told Adam not to do that, and he did it. So we were born blind. We were born in darkness. We were born totally separated from God. And the only one avenue that we can have to get back and have heaven for our home that God wants us to have, because he made heaven for those that believed him. He made heaven for everybody, but not everybody's going to believe him. And so he said, "I'm the Lord, my name, my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." So God can't stand idol worship. So he said, bring out the prisoners from the prison. Now, I remind you today that planet Earth is a prison. Planet Earth has been cursed. That's why you have thorns and thistles. It was all because Adam listened to his wife. Now, the next time you see Adam, you can tell him it's his fault, okay? He said, "And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Now, today, your soul and your spirit is incarcerated. It's locked in your body. So you have a body with your soul and spirit in it, or you have a soul and spirit that's wrapped around with a body. One day this body is going to shed that spirit, and the holy absent from the body is presence with the Lord, and we're going home to glory. So we're going to be liberated. But the only way you're going to get liberated is by receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, which I remind you today, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, do it before it's too late. Because the Lord could be coming any time now. I believe that with all my heart. Well, then I read that verse and I thought, man, oh man, oh man, you know, here I was in jail and I really didn't think about wanting to go back to jail. I'll be honest with you, I didn't. But if God wanted me there, I'm willing to go. And so I read the 16th verse. Now, this 16th verse is a soul winning verse. Now, you look at it. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I'll make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not. We're a faith creature, and faith is what you believe in, but you can't see it ahead of time. You follow that? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is a substance that you have, that God created you with. You have that substance. Everybody does. You just drive down the road here. You're only 12 feet away or 20 feet away from instant death. Come on now. You got to have faith to do that. And if you fly an airplane when I'm flying it, you better have some faith. Okay. Well, then then you go down in verse 16 and you bring a blind by a way they knew not. You got a divine direction there in that verse. I will lead them in paths they have not known, and I'll steer you around the obstacles. I'll be with you. That's Holy Spirit's a paraclete. He goes along beside, but he also indwells the believer, and he guides and directs in all things. And we have to learn by faith to do that. We can't see the Holy Spirit. We can see only the results of the Holy Spirit. We can't see God, but we can see the results of God. And so I know he exists. I believe with all my heart. I have a bit of problem when I was raised to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world from the time that I can ever remember down here. But I didn't receive Christ until I was 16 years of age. That was I can tell you my birthday, Brother Mike. Spiritual birthday. September 19, 1943. See, I'm a classic. So I read that verse and I said, I'll lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. You hear that? Crooked things straight. He's going to forgive all sin, and he's going to straighten that individual up. God is the one that does that. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You don't make yourself free. Somebody else doesn't make you free. He does it. He's the maker. He's the author and finisher. And then he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So I put all these verses together and I said, oh man, you know, I didn't really want to go to jail, but every time God pointed to prisoners, 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 then I saw Israel in bondage and deliverance. Everywhere I looked, bondage and deliverance, and God was talking to me. And then one night at church, the fellas were going to make a trip to Ingham County. No, it wasn't Ingham County. It was over near Bangor. I forget the county. Berrien County jail. It's a big jail. And I'd never been in jail ministry before. I didn't know the first thing about it. I was green as a grass, you know. I've just got a big desire, and I don't have any much knowledge. But I was searching. I wanted it. You know, I wanted God's will. Whatever you want. So the guys asked me, he said, how about going to jail with us, Brother Rex? And I said, well, I'm not really too keen about it, but being you say so, I think I could go. And I got to thinking about when I was in there, and there was one time when I was in there, I was only in there a week, I really wanted to pour my heart out to somebody, somebody come in. There was nobody to come in. I really wanted to talk, you know, because I was really messed up. Oh, you talk about a messed up child of God. I was messed up for 24 years doing my thing and not doing God's thing. You know, that's what it is. Well, anyway, God gave me a verse that I had learned in Day of Vacation Bible School or Sunday school someplace, at Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. And so I knew that verse, but I wasn't thinking about that verse. I was not thinking about God when all at once, the Holy Spirit started running that through my mind, and we know that all things work together for good. And he played it like a broken record. I mean, I thought I was going crazy. I really did. I sat on my bunk, and it was just one timer after another, and he just kept pouring it on, and I thought, oh, man, I can't handle this. Then all at once it dawned on me. I had a wake-up call. I'm in a spiritual hospital with a wake-up call. See, God, give me a call. See, he says, son, you like what you're going through now? No, sir, Lord, I don't like this. I felt like he had his hand on my head shoving me through the concrete. And I said, no, I don't want this. He said, what are you going to do about it? And I did. I said, well, I surrendered. I got down on my knees by that bunk, and I apologized for all the 24 years of not serving him. And we've been serving him ever since. But I tell you today, we're in a beautiful ministry, and God did it. But what happened at that jail, at Berrien County Jail? I waited for the guys to come pick me up, but before they got there, I was in tool engineering, and I had a real rough day. I didn't know how Satan does things. You know, he messed my day up all day long. Everything that I touched on the desk that I had, every quote that I did, all turned to garbage. And I was all put out about it, and I came home and I was crying. And I said, man, I can't go like this. How can I help anybody when I need help myself, you know? So I had to start, I went over and I got my prayer chair, and I said, Lord, you're gonna have to do something. And so I got my Bible out, and I flipped open to Matthew chapter 7, 7 and 8. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it'll be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, he that seeketh, find, him that knocketh, it'll be opened. And I saw that, and then all at once, right out of the blue, I mean, it right off that page, that word ask, it bumped me and got me right between the eyes. Ask starts with A, seek starts with S, knock starts with K, and that is the magic word or miracle word of the word of God is asking. If you don't ask, you don't get. And I come alive, Brother Mike. I come alive. All my problems and my, oh man, that was such a relief. I'm ready to go to jail, you know. I knew those guys were going to pick me up in a few minutes, you know. So I down by my seat, I had my chair, I had a cellophane wrap package of Gospels of John. Just Gospel, not John Romans, Gospels of John. And I just grabbed those and I held them up. I said, Lord, he said, you can give us a soul for each one of these Gospels. We're going to go after them. We know that you can do this. And I said, I'm going to thank you right now. And I did. But I got in a car, and Art Liggins was a black brother, and he was a very faithful brother. And him and I preached jail ministry for several years down there. But he was in the back of the car, and I said, Art, I said, I got something I got to show you. What's that? I said, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. And I showed him what God showed me. He said, man, is that something? He never saw it either, see, the word ask. I know this is old stuff to some of you folks, but that's all right. It was new to me then, and I'll tell you, it lit my wagon, I'll tell you that. Well, then we were driving along in a road, and I said, don't it? I said, I got these Gospels in this heart. I said, I told the Lord tonight, and I said, I asked him, I said, Lord, you can give us a soul for each one of these Gospels that's in here. So I ripped it open, and I gave him part of them. So we got to the jail, and there was about 30, 40 people out in the foyer waiting to go in the jail to preach the gospel from churches all over the area. I mean, we came from Kalamazoo to Berrien County, and you're dealing with about 60, 70 miles. And there was other people there from other places. And so we went in, and they put me with a fella that sold fire extinguishers, and he sold smoke detectors. But this guy had been working jail ministry a long time. You could tell because he knew what he was doing. So we were down in, there were 12 cell blocks in this one wing. And they put you in the walkway, and then they open up the walkway, and then they shut the walkway and drop two guys off, open up the next one, and drop two off, and two, and two, and two. And we ended up down in cell 12. And all them doors are shut. And every time the doors went shut, I'm flinching like this, you know. But I still had my heart and mind on winning somebody to the Lord. But when this fellow walked through there, I'll never forget it. He walked through that door and he says, hi, you fellas. He said, I guess you know what we're here for. And this one little black guy was sitting, he's a nice looking little guy, 17, 18 years of age. He says, yeah, we know what you're here for. We don't want to hear you garbage. Now listen, I'm taking all this in. This is my first trip to jail, and I'm listening to the conversation, see? And this guy said to me, he said, this preacher said to me, he said, you know what you can do? I'll tell you what you can do. You go over and grab some toilet paper and stick it in your ears and get up on your bunk, wrap a blanket around your head. You won't hear a thing. But we're going to preach. And he started out in Genesis, the creation, the fall, the flood, dispersion of Babel. He got the Exode. I mean, he got the whole nine yards. And he preached for an hour and a half. We had a two-hour block. He preached for an hour and a half. And he said, I'll never forget it. And I'm sitting there saying, amen, 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 amen. But when he started preaching, this little guy didn't want to hear that garbage. But I glanced out of the corner of my eye, and that's what he did. He went and stuck some toilet paper in. He was real black, and he had two sheets of toilet paper hanging out like this. That's how I remember the two sheets of toilet paper. And he got in his bunk, and he wrapped the blanket around his head. And a little while later, I saw one sheet come down, another one plugged come out of his ear and went down and hit the floor. Pretty soon, he got out of that bunk and he sat right on the other side of the barn, right in front of me with his legs crossed. Now, mind you, I'm looking at these fellas. I'm learning what this is all about. I don't know anything about it. And I watched their eyes and how they were glued on him preaching the word. They glued on him. I mean, they didn't budge. They didn't talk. They didn't budge. And this little guy heard the first few remarks, and he sat in front of me, and he was just a gawking, and he was glued too. And I'm sitting there saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, you know? Well, this guy preached about an hour and a half, and he preached everything but the concordance and the maps. That's right. He did. I mean, he really preached up a storm. And he had to quit because he couldn't talk anymore. He got real hoarse, real hoarse. He couldn't, we just whispered. You know what he did? He said, Brother Duvall, it's your turn. Now, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And about that time, the Lord said, ask. So I bowed my head. I said, Lord, I need some help now. I've never done this before. You know, I'm green. I never did this before. And so I said, what do you want me to do? He says, give an invitation. Give an invitation. I never did that before either. So what am I supposed to say, you know? I'm green. I'm telling you, I'm green. I don't know anything. I'm just there to learn. And all at once, the Holy Spirit gave me something to say. And he said, this is what he come out of my mouth. Fellas, every one of you guys in there was 10 in that cell, and it was block 10, cell 10 in that wing. I said, there's 10 of you in here, and all of you have heard enough gospel to save the world. And if you ever go to heaven, you're going to have to be saved. So if there's a man among you right now, you come down here and get by these bars so I can pray with you, and you'll receive the Lord as your Savior. If there's a man among you. In other words, if you mean business. And seven guys was wiping her eyes, tears, coming over and kneeled on the bars. And guess who was the first one there? My little buddy with the toilet paper. And he was right there, and he had his hands on the bars, and the water was coming out of their eyes. And so I said, Lord, I said, you see this. You're in direction here. And I thanked him for it. And I said, fellas, if this prayer means anything to you, all you got to do is receive Jesus as your Savior, trust Him, believe Him, and receive Him, and He'll save your soul right here. And so I prayed that prayer, and those guys, they just lit right up, right away. And then all at once, the Holy Spirit called to my attention about these Gospels. And I already give Art some, you know, in the car. So I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out the Gospels that I had there in my pocket, and I looked at it, and I got seven fellas on their knees and only had six gospels. Oh, man. Lord, I'm sorry I give Art too many, but how am I supposed to know, you know? I said, Lord, you got to do something. You got to do something, you know? And I started searching my pocket, and I had one more gospel in this other pocket that I didn't know that I had. I had enough to cover that thing. Well, we took their names and gave it to the chaplain for follow-up and so forth. And then at night, we went out of that block, and I'll tell you what, I wasn't touching the concrete. I was floating out of that place, you know. I just wanted God's will. I just wanted Him to show me what He wanted me to do, see. And I went for it by faith. And I believed him. He would lead me and do that. He said he'd lead me in paths that I didn't know, you know. I didn't know that. But I'll tell you what, that was an exciting night. I never did forget it. That's what I'm telling you. God calls with his word. I gave you the word that he used, and there's other verses too. He called with his word, and then he called with the situation. So you first, you get the scriptures, and then you get the situation. Sometimes you get a situation ahead of the scriptures, and then you get the situation, then you go back and look at the scriptures, and you'll understand the scriptures because of the situation that you went through, see? So two things come together when God calls you. So if you never get anything out of this lesson this morning, just remember it's the scriptures and the situation that God puts you in. It's how he calls you. And if he's calling you, I'm guaranteeing you, he will not leave you go. Because the gifts and calling of God are without change of mind. God's not going to change his mind. He knows who he's going to call when he calls him. And I didn't know that. I was learning all that, you know. But after a while, I learned it, and I said, oh, thank you, Lord. And then, you know what else he said? He said, not many noble are called. And I said, boy, Lord, you called the right one. Not very noble. Not many wise, huh? And that's what it is. And so today, if I could just leave something with you that would really sink into your spiritual gizzard, is just remember, if God calls you, don't hesitate to say, Lord, where, when, I'm ready. Now, he doesn't call this way. He doesn't call this way. He doesn't call this way and say, son, I want you to go for me. And you say, where do you want me to go? See if I want to go. You don't do that. You just submit yourself to going, and God will bless you. I mean, he'll bless. That's been way back in the spring of 67. 67, when I surrendered out to the Lord, and this was there before that, and we'll get into some more things that God took us through that I hope will just give you a charge that you just want to get out and win as many as you can. Father, thank you now for these few moments in this lesson. I pray you help the folks hear it, understand it, and apply some of these things in our life, especially the Word of God, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.